You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Galactic Hollow Nerd! Welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Joy Tiberius, captain of the ship. Joining me today is Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger 72, ship's cook. What's going on, Tyler?
How are we doing, everybody?
Also joining us today is Sarah Tessum. Sarah, what's going on? How did you get on board this ship? Because wait a second, shouldn't you be like, you're enemy territory for me?
Well, see, I was looking for ships to pirate, and I came by and docked with your guys, but you turned out to be pretty cool, so I decided to stay.
All right, right on. So, there's a whole bunch of news that came out today, and frankly, just absolutely ruined what we were going to do for a podcast. So, we're trying to, like, put this all together, but Tyler, you've got some interesting news that you're going to bring up you're doing something crazy. Absolutely positively crazy. You decided that you're going to take some legal action today, right? You have a trial you want to have over this hyperspace issue. Yeah, a hyperspace trial.
I have some beef with FFG. They released some organized play announcements that I'm not very pleased with. And recently, I had been searching through Facebook, and I'd seen some good advice with which to try to sue FFG based on ships that weren't usable anymore from nerfs. Yeah. And I think I'm going to take that up only instead of because of nerfs, I'm going to use this hyperspace format because I've just paid my painting boys a lot of money to make me some cool stuff, and apparently I don't get to play with that anymore.
You feel like that they've caused you damage to its value or something.
They do, yes. I've lost a lot of value.
Small claims court. All right, so you know, like that's interesting. And wait a second, I got a signal here. Apparently, every other judge has been shown to be somehow blinded and dead, and they need me to be a lawyer for this, or not a lawyer, a judge for this. Oh no,
that's pretty weird. It must be just a weird coincidence. I don't know.
All right. Well, if that's the case, Sarah, I guess we need a defense attorney. Are you okay to defend FFG in this lawsuit?
I happen to be a trained defense attorney from all the Law and Order I've watched.
Right. And, I'll tell you what, I did a year and a half of mock trial. So that clearly makes me qualified to be a judge. Funny story though, I'm looking at all of the, available defense attorneys and they're also blind and dead. Tyler, do you have anything to say about
coincidence.
That?
Weird coincidence. I don't know how this could have happened.
All right. So let's get started. we're going to do the hyperspace trial. So Tyler,
it's the small claims hyperspace trial.
Yeah. All right. So let's do this. I've done mock trial before. I'm going to give you guys, I don't know, 5 minutes or an amount of time that I feel is appropriate to each give me an opening statement on why you like the hyperspace format, which was just released today. Not released, but finally, it was finally announced.
The specifics were announced.
Yeah, which ships were going to be in and out. And basically, it seems like it's mostly second edition stuff. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes to talk about why you like it or don't and kind of prove your case. Then I'm going to let you give a cross examinations to each other, then a close, like a real damn judge. That's what I am. So, if that's the case, let's go ahead and all rise for Judge Kelvin Tiberius, right? Glad you're standing. You may sit down. Let's see here. Tyler, you're the not the prosecutor, but you are the, I should know these better. You're the prosecutor, right?
The quote victim, I guess. I don't know.
No, you're not the victim. You're suing. So,
well, yeah.
I'll look this up. This is like next level content. Anyways, you're first because you are
angry.
Oh, you're doing FFG. So go ahead and give me your opening statement. I'll let you know when your time's up. We'll give you like 5 minutes if you want.
All right, sure. So My biggest issue with the hyperspace format is the issue I had when it was originally announced, and it was just kind of brought to fruition when they released the ships, and we've effectively gone to just a 2.0 slightly extended. So my worry is there is a prevailing argument that a smaller ship pool and upgrade pool is easier to balance so that we can have a better competitive game like experience overall. I disagree with that wholeheartedly under the guise that even in the fully extended format, there are still at the high-end competitive level only two-ish lists that work out of each faction anyway. All we're going to do is change that to be a different two-ish list based on the subset, like the smaller subset that the hyperspace format is going to bring about. And then the next point in there is that I've heard is we will stop people from making bad decisions because they won't have as many choices to make to choose from, right? So you've got Timmy, the new player that wants to come in, and he really loves the TIE Aggressor. Nobody really knows why he loves the TIE Aggressor. We can't actually figure out where he even saw it before, but he has decided the TIE Aggressor is his ship, and he wants to run TIE Aggressors. Now in a hyperspace format, that ship is not in the hyperspace format. He can't run TIE Aggressors, so we've saved little Timmy from making a bad decision. But that doesn't mean that little Timmy will just not go fly all Y-wings with just bombs and no guns, right? Like that, he can still make bad decisions in the hyperspace format all the same. So we haven't actually like helped that in any way. Sure, we've reduced the number of bad decisions that are possible, but there are still plenty to be chosen from. And that kind of also segues into my third point, which is I continually hear that second edition and then eventually, like to its point, hyperspace is better for new players coming into the game. I understand where that statement comes from a like card game perspective, where there's a huge card pool and you don't want to have to go buy like five generations of packs before you like can be competitive or whatnot. But a new player coming into the game traditionally isn't gonna care about what the most competitive list is, because even if they do know what that competitive list is, they can't fly it to the effect anyway, so that doesn't really matter. They need to just play games. And so that's going to end up being, here's your core set, you buy one or two ships to go along with your core set, and then you show up to local league night and have some fun. Or you're playing on a kitchen table anyway, right? So if we naturally extend that, the fact that they are suddenly, oh, well, but they need to be able to like buy all these old ships and then buy a conversion kit to get cards to be able to play organized play, that's not really true, because a typical new player isn't going to have those anyway. And if they want to run those ships, they're just going to borrow that stuff. Like all the organized play groups that I've ever been a part of, maybe it's different on the coasts, but all throughout the Midwest, like if you suddenly wanted to run Dash and couldn't find a 2400, someone would let you have Dash to fly a 2400. Like there's plenty of them out there, right? So that's the basis of my argument that it's not actually better for new players because they're just going to pick up what they want anyway. It's not going to prevent you from making bad decisions because there's still plenty of bad decisions out there to be made. And with competitive play, there's only two lists out of each faction anyway. So if we restrict the ship pool, there's still only going to be two lists. You're just going to change what it's restricted to.
All right. So first of all, I just learned that you're the plaintiff because I knew
there we go.
Because I'm the plaintiff. My legal experience is a person who did mock trial 10 years ago. that makes Sarah the defendant in this case. For whatever reason, FFG didn't decide to appear today, which I find mighty suspicious. I'll go ahead and give you your time. So go ahead and what's your defense for the hyperspace format?
Good afternoon, judge, jury, and esteemed viewers. Today I present my case. Oh, I can't even keep myself straight. Today I present my case that FFG is not ruining X-Wing 2nd Edition with the hyperspace format, and that, in my opinion and many other people's opinions, it is a sound decision for the health of the game long term. My first point, and I do share a lot of points with Tyler, even though we would have the opposite viewpoint on some of these things. In regards to new player accessibility, excuse me, Tyler is correct in saying that little Jimmy, who's coming to play X-Wing for the first time, can still make bad decisions no matter what the ship pool is. However, when you have a smaller ship pool and upgrade pool, I think it's easier for a new player to see what might be competitive when list building and be able to make better decisions more easily than he could if you have, you know, 30 ships per faction, for instance. So in that regard, I think the game is a little bit more accessible for new players. And even going a little beyond that scope, if a newer player sees that there's only 4 or 5 ships legal in a faction for the next 4 or 5 whatever months, that makes the buying point for the game much cheaper than someone who's like, oh, there's 20 Imperial ships. I have to go buy all 20. I don't know what's good. It's like, oh, I need a TIE Fighter, a TIE Striker, a TIE Advanced, maybe 2 more TIE Fighters. And it's a lot more accessible in the price range category for them. Going on to my next point with list building for experienced players. So I do think that by restricting the ship pool, Tyler had a very good point about there's only going to be about 2 ships per faction or so dominating the meta, and there is currently and will be when it's restricted. However, one benefit of restricting the ship and upgrade pool for, excuse me, coming off being sick a little bit, for even experienced players is for the people that win their games in list building, and I would consider myself one of those people, I don't have to build a list keeping 30 other things in mind. Yes, it's easiest to build for the best 2 or 3 lists per faction in the meta, and you can pretty easily see what the best lists are. But what happens when you face that super jank that is actually kind of good because no one knew about it? In general, second edition, I would say, is a lot more luck-based of a game. Dice matter a lot more. And then also having, you know, all these ships to choose from throws even more luck into the mix. And it can be hard for some experienced players to win games that they should be winning. Going into my next point, I do truly think that second edition X-Wing is a new game. When it first came out, I didn't think it was that much different from X-Wing first edition. But after playing, I don't know, 50 games so far, so it does feel like a different game to me, even though you are going through the same motions of setting dial, doing your maneuver, doing your action, etc. The game plays differently, and your risk analysis and your decision making is different. And because of that, I think it's important to essentially soft reboot the game by having hyperspace be limited to what essentially X-Wing first edition wave 1 and 2 was, so that even experienced players can start, excuse me, throat's really acting up, can get a clean slate into the game and kind of build up experience over time, because I do truly think it's a new experience. And even for myself, the amount of upgrades and ships currently in extended is overwhelming. And I truly don't know what's good past the top 2 lists in the faction. And that's sort of terrifying to me, is that I can just be caught out of left field by something that no one would have ever saw coming.
All right, so I'm going to let you guys do a cross-examination, right? So how this is going to work is, Tyler, I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to ask Sarah some questions about her points, and Sarah, you can do the opposite. So let's go ahead and knock this out. So, Tyler, the plaintiff, what questions do you have for the defense? I'm sure I guess you're calling her as a witness. This is how legal trials work.
So are we doing questions?
So you get to cross-examine Sarah for a little bit about the hyperspace format and some of the things that are being said about that format being good.
Sure. I'm saying, like, just random questions, period, or,
yeah,
like, with,
yeah,
the,
sure,
points that, oh, hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Which Nora is your favorite?
I mean,
Nora?
I don't know what your legal case is, man. You do you.
Now, that might not be directly related to this case. Y-Wing Nora is my favorite Nora, just because it's, okay, thematic.
Fair. Okay. Well, no. So I guess my original question, though, was like, should I ask questions based on, like, Sarah's points that she brought forward, or should I ask outside, like, questions outside of that realm?
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter, man.
Okay, sure.
Whatever fair. Feels good.
I forget. We just get to do what we want.
I think questions relating to hyperspace specifically.
Yeah.
I mean, you could debate any points I made, or it could just be things I didn't bring up that you wanted to ask.
Exactly. The time is yours, and you're wasting it.
I guess that question actually, there's no question there, right? Because it's got to be Y-Wing Nora now, right? You can't have Ark Nora, even if we wanted it. Okay, what ship are you most saddened by not being in there?
Your nightmare is over. Ark Nora is not a thing anymore.
Hey, I'm not a part of this. You got to cede your time to the plaintiff's attorney.
I apologize, plaintiff. What was your inquiry?
What ship not being in the hyperspace format is the one that you're most sad about?
That's a very good question. I think if you asked me 3 or 4 weeks ago, it'd be a much different answer. But I would actually say the G1A Starfighter. I've played a few games with Forlom in the last few weeks. Well, more than a few, maybe like 12 or 15. And that ship's actually a lot of fun, and it's pretty darn good.
For sure.
Yeah, Hawk 290 would be my second pick.
Interesting. Okay. I don't share your love for the Hawk 290 being gone. There's a few positive points with hyperspace, and they're all just annoyances that are scratched off the list that I don't have to deal with anymore. How much practice are you going to put towards hyperspace, knowing that system opens are still supposed to be extended? Like, how do you plan on like handling both, if you will?
I think what I'll be doing is building most of my lists for hyperspace format, but make sure that one of my ships in my list could be interchangeable with an extended format ship that might be better for the situation. So it's like, hey, in hyperspace, I may be looking at 2 X-Wings and a Y-Wing. And in extended, I might be looking at swapping one of those X-Wings for an ARC 170 or something like that. So I think that's mostly my mindset.
Okay. And is there an upgrade or like crew or something like that that's gone now that you're sad to see go?
I have been using 000 in almost all of my scum lists since the game came out. And I enjoyed using it, but I do understand that it is somewhat of an oppressive card in some situations. And for game balance reasons, I'm not sad to see it go, but for personal reasons, I am.
Yeah. Chambly, we salute you. For those of you who don't know, that's Jeremy Chambly's card that he designed. So, I guess I'm done with my cross-examination.
Yeah, you were meant for this.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be cross-examining, but yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it's okay. It doesn't matter. So, Sarah, I'll give you your time. Go ahead and give Tyler a cross-examination.
All right. I guess my first question, which isn't directly related to your case, what is your opinion of the TIE Phantom and specifically Whisper being excluded from hyperspace, and what impact will that have on the meta overall?
So I personally like Whisper just as a ship. I have a phoner for years, right? So that not being an option for me hurts. That is a smaller subset of the fact that I feel like Empire lost all of its aces, right? Like, so that's just not an archetype we get to have anymore. And as such,
well, objection.
Vader.
I promise you, Vader's not an ace. Vader's a brawler. Like, Vader had boost, he'd be an ace. He can't get to the places he needs to.
And especially not with
it's not anywhere near as good as what Kylo can do or even what Luke can do. But that's neither here nor there. I think the interesting thing you're gonna see shift is that we're going to move like the archetypes that could show up, right, are going to subtly shift. So you have a lot of stuff out of scum that's going to be roughly the same, but we're going to see a lot more Fenn Rau, who just really didn't like seeing Whisper because Whisper could get into positions that Fenn couldn't punish as well if he gets token stripped, that kind of stuff. And the same will probably be true with Rebels. I'm just not sure what's going to show up out of that, if that makes sense.
And oh, absolutely. Like,
yeah. And there's, I mean, we don't have Darth Vader crew either, right? Like, so that's, like, that's both heads of the same ship. We don't have any more predominant Juke carriers that can just get the free evade token.
So you brought up a good point about list archetypes. So essentially by limiting the list pool, we are limiting archetypes. Like Empire lost their Suntir, they lost Whisper, so they did lose some aces. Vader is either a brawler or an ace, to be determined. And then Scum lost a lot of archetypes as well. And that is actually one thing I think I like about hyperspace is that it's limiting archetypes so that you have, I guess, a more thematic faction balance. Besides the fact of you losing access to some aces, what are your overall thoughts on balancing the meta based on list archetypes? Basically, as we've seen happen, where it closes off some avenues, like a lot of control lists went away, for instance, because Ion is basically the only control in the game now.
Well, and it's not even, right? Ion cannons aren't in the game, just turrets. So, like we just have an Ion turret is the only control piece, and only one faction that can bring it. Can Y-Wings come in, Scum?
No.
Like, I don't think they can, right? Like, yeah, no, so it's just
R.I.P. Dreyas.
Right, yeah, so I mean, like, control's, like, gone.
Tracker Sorry, beam I'm an impartial judge.
Impartial judge.
In quad jumpers too, man. Like everything I painted except for the freaking escape craft is gone.
Yes, you're not wrong. So I like the idea from a high level where like, hey, we want to reduce the archetype that a faction can bring, basically, right? And that was kind of my argument where so one of the big pushes from a lot of community members for a second edition being a good format and then a hyperspace format is as these new factions that are coming in with a limited ship pool, it's not quote fair to them that, you know, Empire has 12 ships it can bring and they can only bring four, right? But my counterpoint and what I would like to see is as long as you can have a very good style for that faction to play or that an archetype for that faction to play, that's still okay. Like, it doesn't matter if, like, the new Resistance faction, for example, is, you know, heavy ace supported by bombs. Like, okay, that's what they're good at. That's what you're going to do. Like, it might not be Poe every time. It might be Poe. It might be two A-Wings aces in it, you know, but it's always going to be a couple BSFs that are just going to be dumping bombs down everywhere. And, like, that's what they do really well. Okay, cool. Like, that's their thing. You don't need a lot of ships to be able to do that. And that's a fine thing. We don't need every faction doing everything. My frustration with this hyperspace setup is that we basically relegated ace play to Supernatural Luke, Supernatural Kylo, and the Fang Fighters out of Scum. And I think that's going to be the thing that like really hurts everybody is we basically went, hey, there was this really good list that was Boba, Lando, Fen Rao, and that's still alive and well, and everybody else is reacting. So I see that being fairly oppressive.
So I sort of, oh, sorry.
So not to mention like Kylo shenanigans that are becoming.
So I do somewhat agree with that.
I'll give you that last question. Last question, defense.
Okay. Sort of a miniature counterpoint to that. So with this being hyperspace basically being 2.0 re-release plus, because there is that plus there, personally, I think there's a possibility that basically because we're in season one of this, what I wanted to call a brand new game, I think FFG is limiting it more than they would in future hyperspace formats on purpose as sort of a welcome to X-Wing, get their new players in right now. And then potentially the next hyperspace season, which who knows if it's summer or fall or whenever, they would open up a lot more, not necessarily just to the re-released stuff at that point, which would be maybe wave 3 or 4 or whatever. But opening up to even some extended content to just say, hey, the new players have their 6 or 7 ships per faction now up through wave 3. Now let's open it up to basically everything except ban the really oppressive things. What is your opinion on me thinking that FFG might go that way?
I would say that is probably the biggest thing. The difference there is I'm fairly a pessimist about things like that versus it sounds like you're more of an optimist in those spaces. when I look at a hyperspace format where it is a selected ship pool, I look at that and go, it is entirely possible that my cool painted Lambda and my cool painted Decimator never see a playtable again in hyperspace, right? It's just possible that they never make the list. And that's just kind of sad. Now, granted, it's entirely possible that's not, right? They could open up the pool more. They could bring more ships in. They could rotate ships every 6 months. But that also, if we're rotating ships every 6 months, that kind of hurts the idea that we want to have new players. Because if we hard rotate the pool to like actually move through those ship types, so people that have these big collections and enjoy flying stuff can get their chance to do so. If I'm a new player and I spend 6 months buying ships and then we have a hard reset and now suddenly only one of my like seven ships that I have multiple copies of are useful, then now I have to go buy a bunch of new stuff. Right? Like that would be frustrating as a new player. So I'm guessing what's going to happen is it's going to be a much slower rotation. Like we're going to see, you know, a similar 4 to 5 ships in every hyperspace and they're going to trade out like one or two. Right. So like right now we'll have Strikers and Reapers for Empire. In 6 months, we might have Lambdas and TIE Bombers show back up. Right. But we'll lose Strikers and Reapers, but we'll always have TIE Fighters and TIE Advanced, that kind of a thing. And that's just mainly to keep parity with the other factions, which I think they're going to want to do. I don't think that's a good idea, but I think they're going to want to do that.
All right, Tyler. So I'll let you give your closing statement, your closing argument on this. And we'll let Sarah give her closing argument, and we'll let the Holonet decide the fate of hyperspace rail. So really, we'll see if this gets caught up in higher courts. So anyways, what's
sure.
your...
we have
what's,
what's higher than the hyperspace court?
I have the hyperspace trial, because you got to have hyperspace named everything, right?
Right.
So, yeah, it's not like this isn't going to get appealed immediately. Right. All right, so give me your closing argument. The judge was drunk.
So I appreciate what they're trying to do. And I understand from an organized play perspective what the goal is. I just don't think that goal is accomplished by how they're going about doing it. And what they are doing is they're just artificially restricting. And that is what's frustrating to me. It's not that I can't play the ship that I like to play. It's that those ships aren't allowed anymore. So even if I just decide like, oh, hey, I want to go sit down and I just want to play Interceptors today. Like, I don't know, I'm feeling Interceptory. Let's go do that. It doesn't have to be the best thing. It's just, it's not an option anymore. And it's frustrating to have a collection that 75% of the collection is just not an option. So that's my frustration point with the whole thing. And I don't feel a lot of the arguments are genuine in the sense that we're seeing things that go, oh, hey, it'll fix problem A, it'll fix problem B, it'll fix problem C. Like, I don't think any of those problems are actually getting fixed, and we're just going to see the same repetition. It's just going to be different power lists, different, you know, combo wing, that kind of stuff. That's all still going to happen. Just because we're looking at a smaller card pool doesn't mean we won't find it. Because there's enough people playing this game, we always find it.
All right, so let's go ahead, and I'll let Sarah give the final, the closing argument for the defense. You want to go ahead?
Yep, as I said before, I think that the hyperspace format will lower the barrier of entry to new players, at least for what is essentially season one of the game, before they can ramp it up a little bit. I think the restriction of ships and archetypes per faction also allows FFG to slowly open up the hyperspace format to include more ships. And so Tyler and I have a little bit of a differing viewpoint here. He's of the mind that they're going to be swapping ships, potentially adding them slowly. And I don't think that they'll be removing any ships from hyperspace. I think they will just be straight adding. I think this is FFGOP's way of controlling what's legal in order to shape the metagame so that something like Dangaroo doesn't happen again, basically. And I kind of like the direction that's going. I do like figuring out my own lists in my own meta sometimes, and I do like the list building phase of the game. But I think with how it currently is and extended is we have two or three top lists or top archetype lists per faction, and everything under that is just a massive hurricane of what the hell is going on. there's not, I would not say that there's a defined list of A tier, B tier, C tier lists. We have S tier lists and literally everything else. And I think by restricting hyperspace format down to a lower number of ships, 4 or 5 per faction at the start of this game, will help prevent that tornado of craziness and help shape those A tier, B tier, C tier ships. And then they can add in as they go. It also does keep them on parity with the new factions coming out, CIS and Republic, which I think is, I wouldn't say it's paramount, but I think it is relatively important so that those players that want to go Republic, like myself, or CIS, like many other people, aren't left in the dust because they have to build for anti-control, anti-ace, anti-brawler, etc., with a very limited ship pool.
Alrighty, so I'll leave this up to the Holonet since I guess just made it a jury trial. We'll compile votes or something. I can say things to the jury as a judge, right? And this is not going to be anything other than RIP Lambda, RIP TIE Interceptor, RIP Gunboat.
Where's the instant rap air horn?
Yes, it's like, no, it's like the sad trombone. RIP Brobots. RIP Quadruper.
Oh, I didn't even think about Brobots. Man.
RIP Miss Hunter.
sure feels bad when the world's winning list can't be run anymore.
RIP Kirax Fighter. RIP, I don't care about the Lancer. Yeah, I mean, some people did. Who cares? RIP, M3A Interceptor. No one cares about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually out of
that. You just straight up skipped the Kima Gila.
Sure.
said you don't care.
I don't care about
because it's basically a Scum Arc 170.
But RIP Scum Y-Wing. Sad about that. RIP Scum Hawk. A little sad about that.
RIP Tugboat.
RIP B-Wing.
Yeah. Blair's on suicide watch.
Oh. RIP Z-95s.
Yeah, Z-95s. And
it's like my third favorite ship in the game.
So, in theory, that will be back in when Wave 3 drops. So, it'll be quick, but...
RIP Rebel Arc. I liked that ship. RIP A-Wings. God damn. Oh, man.
You were a Resistance player all along.
Oh, no. No, I don't care about the Resistance A-Wing. I really don't. Like, oh, man, that's sad. I don't think anyone's sad about the Ghost. Fuck you, Ghost. I think we'll end this segment.
You know who's sad about the Ghost? All those people that have really cool modded ghosts from, like, the Kanan Biggs days.
It is one of the coolest things to mod.
You know what? I don't give a shit about those players.
oh, man, that's funny. All right. There we go. I poured one.
Yeah, so you hear that, Kevin, my local? Sarah doesn't care about you, but I did.
I'm a little sad to see that. Okay, I'm not going to go through any more of this. It's going to make me sad.
Play a ship that rolls green dice, damn it.
You are barking up the wrong tree if you want that to happen.
All right. So that was...
I realized that halfway through that sentence. I'm sorry.
So let's move on to our next thing that we're going to go through. There's frankly too much content, so we're going to go through some points adjustments that came out, because points did come out for Resistance and the First Order today. And there is a whole bunch that was dropped, but I do want to kind of go through some of the highlights for First Order and Resistance. So I don't know. What do you guys want to do first, First Order or Resistance?
Well, it's the First Order. Okay. So obviously.
Fine. All right. So let's start off with the topic one,
the grandson's here and he's pissed.
Kylo Ren is 82 points, which, like,
that's not true. He's 111.
He's at least 94.
You're saying I think he's 102 base. I don't think you can go under that 102.
So you got to do pro because he's got proton.
No. You have to do prime thrusters and supernatural. Like you want proton, but I'll give up proton before that I give up either of those two.
All right. So, I mean, for what that does, my first initial reaction is that is like pretty cheap for what you're getting. understatement of the year, but like, does anybody think that this is even close to reasonably priced? Like, cause it is okay. Let me be fair. It is a lot. It's over half your list.
Okay. So you got to think about like reasonably priced, right? Mm-hmm. So
like that's an error.
It's his ability just on paper, like unless he's 250 points, I don't know as it matters, right? Like he's probably not worth 150 points, but at the same time, sure he is, because like there is entirely lists that will have absolutely no way of dealing with him, like any way whatsoever. So that's just, I don't think that's good for the game, but here we are, and you restricted
welcome back, pre-nerf Phantom.
Yeah. Oh no, but it's so much worse than pre-nerf Phantom.
I know. Right?
Like you get a movement before and after, and you can link to have two before and then a regular action after. Like picture back wave one when you had Kylo with advanced sensors and you were trying to chase that guy down. Like I chased Kylo down multiple times with Vader, with VI Vader, that's going after him, right? And it's still an absolute just pain to do, right? I mean, it's a hard fight, it's a dogfight, but he can go to all these places that no other ship in the world can go to, and it's just straight stupid. We just opened up that bloom exponentially more by letting him take actions after the fact or before and after. And that's just hurts my soul a little bit.
So I do think he's appropriately costed considering that supernatural reflexes is basically an auto include. So you're looking at a 94 point ship base. Now, like you said, it's really, really hard for most lists to deal with something like that. So I think most players are going to make sure that they have a specific answer for that, like an Initiative 6 ace type ship. Because he does only have 6 health. He can go down pretty quick, especially against like proton torpedoes. So, I mean, an Initiative 6 Alpha Strike list could just straight up kill him. But also, if you're a good Kylo player, you just won't be shot at for the first 50 minutes.
Right. That's kind of my problem, though. It's like, I get that idea, but it's like, man, yeah. What Initiative 6 Alpha Strike list? I'm thinking like just like a Swarm Tactics Wedge with a Luke sitting next to him, right? But at the same token, Kylo could, with a 5 straight boost and barrel roll, I can just put myself in a place to where you're either range 1 of me or you're not range 2 to 3, right?
Yep, and I think Kylo is a little scared of Poe, which we'll get to Poe later, but I think that Poe poses enough of a threat where Kylo players do have to be a little bit cautious with loading them up on points and making sure that they have the rest of their list up to snuff instead of just being like, oh, 140 point Kylo plus a TIE fighter. Because I think Poe, if he gets one or two good shots on Kylo, can make him real sad.
It's possible, yeah.
So what is the what is the most efficient points use on Kylo? Do you think it's just supernatural reflexes? Do you think it's reflexes and proton reflexes?
Well, I think it's reflexes and primed for a couple of reasons. First, reflexes just it's a no-brainer. You have to
include also primed because I may as well just be able to do whatever I want no matter what.
Yeah, because there's so many times where like random stress can happen. If someone brings a stress mechanic, we gutted most of the stress mechanics from the game going to hyperspace, but there's still potential for it to be there eventually, right? Like, we also have things like other Kylos that can then proc panic pilot on you, right? So if you get panic pilot, most ships are like, oh, that's really bad. But if you have primed, you still get both your repositions. Like that ability alone is just ugh.
So we're saying about 102 points base for Kylo?
Yeah.
I think that's about right. So you're looking at 100 points, half your list. What do you put with that?
A proton torpedo and a TIE FO. and probably a shield upgrade. Gives you roughly a 50-point bid.
I mean, just saying, Midnight is initiative 6 and pretty cost-efficient also at 44.
Yeah, for sure.
Duke doesn't work with her anymore, but I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah. So Midnight is that cool ability of just, like, literally now you're just praying to variance.
Yeah, it's Midnight slash Lockdown slash Omega Leader, but better, I think, because no one anywhere can modify the dice of the ship that you have locked.
Well, no, it's you can't modify and they can't modify. So you're praying to variance, right?
Yep, correct.
Yeah.
Interestingly, oh, I don't think the Taifo has a way to hold on to a focus or an evade token anymore, though, which makes them slightly worse as a chassis, I think.
Oh, for sure.
So yeah, let's talk about are there any other Taifos that stand out? Because it's gonna be so weird calling it Midnight. Like,
I mean, gonna be locked down for a while. Commander Malaris or whatever.
I think the second that the Minox made it popular enough, they couldn't name it Lockdown. Like they were when you think about it though, like they were a victim of their own success, because if everyone calls it Lockdown, they are the quote unquote like writer for that name or the creator of that name, and so they have rights to sue. So you can't use it, even though everyone called Megaleader Lockdown or Megaleader, right? So that's kind of funny. So now it's Midnight, and no one knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, I like Commander Malaris, which is just two times per game, half glitter stem. Remember the old days, which is pretty solid because the FO dial is really good. Like it has 41 two turns, points,
pretty cheap.
Yeah. Static.
I think Null is worth a look. 31 points. Initiative 0. While you are not damaged, treat your initiative value as 7. I think at 31 points, that's efficient enough to think about as filler for First Order.
Yeah, because you're gonna threaten just by shooting order, so you might get shot, and who cares?
And two die attacks matter now because of dice variance. Dice variance is greater, so two die attacks actually matter. So having an initiative 7. Two die ship that you really don't want to shoot at because it's only 31 points, I think he can be decently threatening.
Yeah, I like optics on him, which is the old weapons guidance at 35, is because that makes him really like that you hit really hard with optics.
Yeah, like you're getting map on it, you're real close every to single two. Time.
Yeah, like the only way you don't get two hits is if you double blank, and that's a very low percentage of the time. So, That's a pretty good like skirmish piece and would fit next to like a Kylo and another small like, so if you have Kylo at 102 and you have like Null, you could possibly look at taking like Midnight just naked, right? Because that's what 79. That still gives you a monster bid. Like that puts you at 19 point bid.
So you think that Kylo's like the bid war is gonna get worse with Kylo running around?
Yes, it absolutely should.
Yep. He needs to be moving after Luke, so yes.
Yeah, 100% has to move after Luke. He doesn't, like, he wants, and he has to move after Boba Fett, too. Like, that's a pretty, 19-point bid. No Torp on Kylo, that's frustrating. But who else matters, right?
What about Quick Draw nowadays? Quick Draw's back.
Quick Draw is cheap. Like, for what Quick Draw does, Quick Draw's real cheap.
That's like nothing. 45 points as a base is nothing.
You need their gunner, so you need the Special Forces gunner. It's just 55 base.
I mean, even still, like, that's nothing. We always talk about Soontier, you know, in Wedge at super cheap or being, you know, that's good value.
Yeah, and what is it, Fanatical? Like, you throw Fanatical on there too, probably. And I would consider FCS, but I don't know. FCS is always a weird spot for me. But so I've seen people say the Upsilon is just, you know, bad or whatnot. So it actually, that's, I don't know why I thought forgot about this. So Sarah, there's your control piece. Like the First Order is the control faction. Like that Upsilon can do some really dumb and dirty things with control pieces. Because the petty officer guy, like Athanasum. Yeah, so it's like whenever you gain a red or orange token, if you are not stressed, you may gain a stressed, and then that ship gains an additional token of that type. And they have ways to jam, which is considered an orange token. So you know they can double jam, they can stress lock, they can do a lot of stuff like that. Yeah, because Phrasma is everybody at range 0 to 1 that is not stressed gains one token.
Tyler, I'd be remiss not to ask you about this. I'm just kind of going through, because you started mentioning upgrades, and I have to ask you, it would be irresponsible not to ask you about Kylo Crew. Yeah, 11 points.
I don't think the points matter, because it has to go on a Upsilon right now. Until they get another ship that can, hold on, let me make sure that's true. The SF, yeah, he just has a gunner slot. Mm-hmm. Until you get a more dynamically movable piece, I don't think Kylo Crew is going to see much play. And that's probably not bad, honestly. Like, I mean, I was the first person to say, like, playing against Kylo Crew is not fun. But playing in a high-level X-Wing tournament, you don't go to play to have fun. Like, you go to win. Like, that's... So I don't mind that, you know?
So I think Kylo Crew by itself in a bubble is worth it, but like you said, because it can only go on the Upsilon, so the base cost Upsilon's 56 points. If you start loading it up with upgrades, including Kylo, you're getting close to 80 or 90 points, and at that point, why don't you just run Kylo ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, also...
I guess that's my opinion, is that if anything on first order is getting up to close to 100 points, just run Kylo Ren ship instead.
Yeah.
So I was really dismissive of the Upsilon shuttle until I saw that the Lambda had been murdered by FFGOP. And so now I'm like, I guess, like, I thought to myself, you know, like, oh, this should be like in the 40s and 50s. Like, this thing is really expensive. And I'm like, oh, I guess this is all we have now. So,
well, it's expensive, but it's a
four-dice gun. Ships cost now. Yeah, I mean, but I'd rather have three out the front and two out the back.
It also white turns, like white turns and three white banks. So I'm like, this thing flies way better than a Lambda could ever dream. But you are not wrong about the no rear arc. If this thing had a rear arc, I'd be all in. Without having a rear arc, it's a little bit worse.
Yeah. So how about like Supreme Leader Snoke at 13 points? I think that is a really good card for pretty darn cheap. Although, of course, it runs in the same issue of only one carrier, but for 13 points, that's really good.
So it's interesting because like, it's good. You know, like exactly like what Sarah was saying with Kylo, I think it's very good in a vacuum, but it's like, unless you're also going to put Kylo Crew on the same, Upsilon shuttle, you have one force, so it's you pick one ship and see what it is, right?
So so something interesting that I was thinking about with this is sort of a outside the box way of running lists that are closer to 200 points, because with Snoke you can at least look at their dial to see what they're planning on doing, so you can kind of deal with it, right?
Right, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
a little. It's got a little bit of counterplay.
I don't think an Upsilon with Snoke would be a bad choice for a potential wingman for Kylo. Just so that if you do hit those initiative six aces, you can see where they're going and plan for it a little bit.
Yeah, it offers just like a little bit of a counter. I don't know if it's the right move, and in the end, I'm just not me personally. None of them. None of them really call me just because of their cost. I'd rather run, you know, Typhos or SFs or or Blackout, right? Like just okay, we can talk about that next. But look, none of the shuttles there just seem so expensive compared to getting two foes.
They are the one that was really interesting to me, though.
Like long shot at 33 is good.
Was Captain Cardinal with a Typho swarm. Because then all your Typhos get to reroll a focus result on attack or defense all the time.
They get wired.
Yep, wired without the stress requirement. I think it's marginally okay if you want to run a Typho swarm. So, you know, four whatever Typhos plus Captain Cardinal.
Yeah, at that point you could throw Hux on them too.
Yep.
So he coordinates three ships at the same time, gives them all focus.
Yep,
so.
And you pair it with, you make sure Muse is in your list, which is the one that lets you remove stress from friendly ships.
Yeah, yep. I could see that.
All right, do we have any other First Order ships there that we want to talk about points-wise that...
You you conveniently glossed over one of the things you can do with the Upsilon Shuttle, which the dormant hyperwave nonsense is still in the game. So hyperspace tracking data, where before setup I can choose 0 or 6 and treat my initiative as that, and then after setup assign 1 focus or evade token to each friendly ship at range 0 to 2. And then dormance is after you are placed, other friendly ships can be placed anywhere in the play area between 0 and 2 of you. So if you are bringing dormance with 2 other shuttles, they can start range 2 of dormance, which is already range 1 of Hard Edge, and start with focuses, and then just drive forward, and they all go down at PS6 or initiative 6, and they are in your face with target lock focus on turn 1, shooting real big guns.
You're gonna have to deal with that like one time and figure out that puzzle.
You can also pair them with 4 Typhos and just go 5 straight on the Typhos.
Yeah, same idea.
Put long shot in there, get that 3rd die at range 3.
Oh, we should talk about General Hux at 10 points. That seems also like all of these guys seem cheap because they have to be run on the Upsilon.
Yep. I like Hux. I mean, he basically lets you, for 10 points is what is it? Like if you do, you may coordinate up to 2 additional ships of the same type. So you have to, so, I mean, it's FO swarm, right? Like you might be able to weirdly do it with an SF. How many God, SFs are cheap, man. You can do it with an FS swarm. You can get 3 SFs and a dormance with like Hux and points to spare. Well, not that many points to spare because you need the gunners on them. Never mind.
Well, a Starkiller base pilot with Hux and then 3 Zeta Squadron survivors with Special Forces gunner is 198 points.
Yeah, that seems pretty good. Give them all focus and target lock every turn.
Yeah, that seems like that would be all right.
And they have a good set of blues on them, so yeah. The stress that they get really isn't a bad thing.
I didn't even notice that blue. Yeah, 1 and 2 bank, 1, 2, 3 forward, sure. And they have rear arcs too, so cool. But yeah, that's
All right. Do we have anything else we want to talk about on First Order that we haven't hit?
I mean, I think that's the highlights of everything. I do think it's going to be Kylo the faction, but there is other stuff that can be played around with. I just don't know if it's as good. You know, it's that same trap, right?
Yeah. Sarah, you have anything else you want to talk about on this faction?
No, I think we covered most of the exciting points of the faction. I mean, like Tyler said, Kylo the faction, really.
All right, so let's move on to the Resistance and... we've got 4 ships, you know.
Hold on. I am going to say one other real quick thing. I guess if you did literally wanted to go 1-man army, Kylo, now, because with like with our Snoke that we were talking about, you have Supreme Little Snoke on a Starkiller base, and then you go like 102-point Kylo or something like that. That biohexacrypt codes. Lets you coordinate at any range, so you just start up next to Kylo and target lock him.
That's not hyperspace legal, buddy.
Is it not? Why would
no?
It's wait, really? They didn't put biohexacrypt codes in, but everything else.
I am not kidding. I am staring at the document right now. That is the only thing that is not legal.
Is that the only no on the entire thing?
Yes.
Nope. Sure. Okay. Good job, FFG. You caught me.
Oh God.
Okay. Yep. Never mind.
All right. So let's move on to the Resistance. That's your final argument, your rebuttal is what they call it. Yeah, there you go. All right. So the Resistance. Let's talk about, I think that we should talk about Rey and Poe to start. I don't know if we should start with which one, because they both look pretty good. I guess I kind of want to start with the YT-1300, because, oh my God, how inexpensive are they? Because aren't the Rebel ones like in the 90s, and the Scavenged 1300s are in the 80s at the most, to the down to 68, which is pretty darn cheap.
That's correct, but there are a few notable changes. The Scavenged one only has 11 health, 8 health and 8 hull and 3 shields versus 15 on Rebels. And the rotate arc action is red, meaning you are probably jousting with these most of the game instead of kiting with them, especially with Rey. So I think that they're appropriately costed, especially considering most of the crew and gunner upgrades for Resistance are pretty expensive.
Yeah, but Rey at 80, still, like, I'm expecting that to be maybe a little bit higher, because I'm expecting it to be to start off at over half the list, and it doesn't, kind of not like a Dash does.
Or oh, yeah, and I think she's RIP. Fine naked.
Like, not RIP. I never liked that. Yeah.
What I'm guessing is that is going to go along with that, though, is we haven't got a price adjustment for Rebel Scum and Empire yet, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if you saw the Rebel Falcons get adjusted down similarly. Not necessarily the exact same price point, but get close.
Anyway, so for Rey, what are some of the crew that are, because it's usually Rey and Finn's already starts at 10 points, but what are some of the things that you're going to see on Rey?
I think, go ahead.
Oh, Finn and Rose, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly think Rey, you're going to see a lot of Rey just naked. Like, that's a great 80-point ship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her force ability, like having force on there to have double muds. Like Sarah was saying, you just kind of ram it in there, joust in, just take up space, make them deal with stuff. Like, I get the Rose and Finn is good, but that's like, what, 21 points for it or something like that?
19 points. And yeah, 19. I think you pair Rose and Finn always. I don't think you include Finn without Rose, just because your chance of rolling one blank with Rey, at least on attack, already is pretty high. So, yeah.
Wait. I'm looking at Yasby, and Finn and Rose are 0 points for some reason.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
I mean, look, the points did come out today, right?
No, they
like,
did.
It's fine.
I also think the Rey's Falcon title for 5 points is super worth it, because then you can sloop and boost into someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, you get double stress for doing it, but, you know, if it's a kill shot, it's a kill shot.
So, so Rey's got a bunch, like, so you can either build her, because that's going to be upwards of 100 plus points, right? If you're including Rose and Finn and Tidal, right?
Yeah, and engine upgrade, it's 130. Yeah.
That's a lot. Although I bet you, as I guess the other main points that we learned about, or the main, you know, ship in that faction is Poe, and you can still fly those two together even with that expensive array if you wanted to, because Poe's only 68, which still seems pretty cheap for him. Like, I was expecting higher.
Let's see, what do we got on Poe?
68 points, man.
Well, I'm like actually just building one out real quick. R4 title, what talent goes on him? Is there a specific talent?
So I was playing with him earlier, and I actually wasn't using the talent slot. I was doing BB-8, Black One, and Primed on most of my builds.
So at the moment, you're looking at Trick Shot or...
yeah, I mean, for 1 point, Trick Shot's pretty good.
Trick Shot's amazing at a point. You can, like, if it triggers once or twice, itself.
And Primed is expensive. I forget Primed always.
And on Poe specifically, Primed is nice, but I don't know if it's 100% necessary, because you can already double reposition, so I don't see you having to turn around that much.
Yeah. I was actually thinking the Ferrosphere paint, just to try to deal with people trying to lock you for ordnance.
Yep, Ferrosphere is very solid. But also, if you're moving an initiative 6 and someone moves up at a lower initiative to target lock you, you should have enough options to just get range 1 of them.
Yeah.
So you're not really worried about the torpedo, but it's like, if you lock me and I get range 1 of you, not only are you taking a range 1 shot, but you also have a stress token, so you can't turn around next turn. Like, no, that seems pretty good, actually.
That's like, that's exactly it. Because it's how many times, normally speaking, if that's like a red line or something like that, right? Like, he locks me, I get up close, and then the following turn, he just K-turns and torps me anyway. Or I'm running, right? And eventually he torps you. So... yeah, I think that's pretty powerful.
Well, you can run a Ray, Poe, and a just a regular old RZ2 A-Wing together, and that sounds all right. Anyway, so what are the other resistance ships that we need to talk about? We haven't even mentioned the bombers yet, and the bombers are going to be just joyful for TIE Swarms to play against with trajectory simulators. I mean, so
TIE Swarms already don't exist because Scum's in the game, but yeah.
Yeah, because Boba.
Yeah, Boba and Finn at the same time. I'm out. Not playing that.
So I did want to mention one other Falcon pilot that I think is worth a look. I think Chewbacca at 72 points could actually be good. Because his ability got upgraded from first edition. When a friendly ship range 0-3 is destroyed, you may perform an action, then perform a bonus attack. So, of course, you can't do multiple bonus attacks per round, but you're looking at 2 shots per round, and one of them is probably double modded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that seems decent. If you pair him with, you could pair him with 2 T-70s and an A-Wing, like 3 or 4 A-Wings, depending on what crew you might put on Chewie.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you could keep them super light, like naked, and just pair a shit ton of ships with them.
Mm-hmm. And he just fires like all of the A-Wings.
Right. I think the biggest issue he ran into is he doesn't have Z95. Like,
well, I mean, 32 RZ2As are.
Can you get
that's so cheap? A naked Chewie and 4 base A-Wings are 200 points.
Yeah.
That's not bad. And you're just chucking those things right in everybody's face, just dying to get killed, and just like begging.
No, I think this is your problem with Sloan Swarms.
Witness also,
R.I.P. Admiral Sloan.
Man. Okay. So actually, I thought Sloan was fine.
You mean the way, like, in the game?
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I thought it probably should take a points increase, but I liked the I liked what it did. Like, I liked the idea and the control it did. I thought it was a fun, because there was counterplay to it. Like, that was my biggest enjoyment. But yeah.
Anyways. So yeah, I think that that's pretty cool. People want to like keep telling me about the Resistance A-Wings, and I guess I'm slowly getting into them. They seem, I guess they do have, these ones do have a role in that they can be pretty good support ships while, I guess, just moving quickly, which is useful. I'm a big fan of, I think, what is it? Is Taliesin the one that does the debuff in the Bullseye Arc?
Tally buffs your friendly ships when they're defending.
At 35 points, that's good. I think at 35 points, that's good because it's cheap and it can still do A-Wing things, but it also can paint something to cause it to do less damage. And it's going to be good at getting things that, into Bullseye Arc, or at least managing its Bullseye Arc well enough to where, like, you feel like you can get something. I don't know. I think it's certainly interesting.
Oh, I agree. She can barrel roll into a boost at initiative 5 at 35 points and give your other ships extra defense dice. That seems like pretty decent for 35 points.
And
people aren't going to want to shoot at her.
Let me point of order this too. If you're blocking someone, you're still in the Bullseye Arc for that ability, right?
Correct.
So it's a useful blocking mechanic too. You actually cause that ship to do even less damage if they say they don't have actions.
Who are we talking about here?
Taliesin.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not bad. Of course, you're limited by the fact that it does 2 damage, but I mean, that thing is barely more than a quarter of your list. No, it's not even a quarter of your list. It's 35. It's 35. I'm thinking 1.0. Like, it's 35.
That's you can't get six of her. Nothing. That's all.
Two die attacks nothing. Matter now, especially when you can put two talents on her, aka trick shot and crack shot.
Or you can do.
You can't put snapshot and juke anymore. Sorry.
You can do juke and something else. Like, you could do juke lone wolf on somebody, and that'd be not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think after seeing the points for the A-Wings, I'm more excited about them. When we got when we got the spoiler article, I fully thought they'd be more points than the Rebel A-Wings, and I think you mentioned earlier the Rebel ships may come down in price just because these are technically better ships for cheaper than the Rebel A-Wings right now. But I think at a price range of 32 to 38 points naked, they might almost be an auto include in almost any resistance list, just to have like an A-wing there for blocking or for buffing or debuffing or whatever.
Yeah, you can do Talus and Rey and Poe, and that's not bad. Like, there's a way to figure out those points. Anyway, so I like A-wings that are blockers, but I suppose these ones are even like not bad at that either. Like your blue squadron's coming in at 32. That's nothing for being like a good in your face blocker to get shot, especially for, like we were mentioning, Chewbacca. So I think even that's fine. Are there any other ships that we should be mentioning? I do want to talk about Eloatzi because that ability's nuts. For 56 points. I just Talon roll for days.
Oh yeah, I fully agree. I think the T-70 chassis in general is very points efficient, and I'm super excited to fly those. Like, when I saw the points, I immediately thought, I'm doing Poe plus two T-70 wingmen, and it will be a good list.
You can even take your choice, like Jess Pava's 52 points. You can just run just that, and that's 25% of your list that's going to hit above its weight.
Yep. No, I slapped together a Poe, Elo, and Jess list, and I don't think it was a bad choice at all.
Like, you're instantly going to be able to fight with that. That's interesting.
So we also have Eden in the BSF or the MG-100 Star Fortress that is old school, like, trajectory simulator bombs. Like, after you fully execute a blue or white maneuver, if you haven't dropped or launched a device this round, you may drop one device. Or I guess you would only drop it, but still. So, and that's initiative 3?
Yep, so it gives you a slight advantage on bomb dropping.
Yeah. Cat.
So,
swarms are already dead again, and they're kicking them down. I had the Drea swarm for like 4 days. Like, I had a fully painted one for 4 days, and now it's gone. Sorry, I'm in withdrawal. Anyways, what were you going to say, Sarah?
So, if I'm reading Edon correctly, does that mean after you execute a maneuver, you could drop an action device without spending an action, such as a proximity mine or a counternet, because it doesn't say drop a bomb. It says drop a device.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's so I guess good. You can move, drop your proximity mine on someone and then still take an action, and they do have a 3-die primary.
Or your counternet, too.
Yep, and I think counternets are okay, but only having one charge hurts them a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Prox mines are so good now, especially because it's one damage plus 2 dice.
And you're doing it after, so you're just running into stuff and dropping bombs on them, if that's the case.
So that'll be a lot harder to do with a Star Fortress, just because you'll have to have that like move over the top of someone. But yeah, because it's also after he fully executes the maneuver.
Oh, right. So he can't.
He can't bump. Yep.
Yeah, he can't bump. That's good. Well, that's good.
But also, can we talk about the fact that they have a 3-dice primary out the front and then a bow tie? Like 2 dice, so like this is legit just old school turrets. Like, convince me that 270 isn't 360.
I mean, I think for the points cost that they are, it's fine.
Not to do that to you, I can't.
Well, I mean, like, did you, like, Cat is, if the defender is at range 0 to 1 of at least one friend, roll one additional die. So, like, you could see BSF lists that are just launching. Well, that's weird, though, because it's devices that have to stick around, right? Unless you've got someone, can someone hold devices? Could you do that, like old school NIM?
No, I don't think so.
No, mines are devices, though, so you can drop a prop.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just got to be close to people, but yeah, for sure.
I will point out that two Cobalt Squadron bombers and a Resistance Sympathizer do fit at 194 points.
Oh. Barf.
What is that? 35 health. All with 3 die primaries.
I swear I'm good at this game. Not you're bad at rolling dice, or you only brought 3 ships.
It's fine. Points, you can have that.
Points Fortress the video game.
Yeah, I'll bring my 3 bat shuttles. And we'll see if your turrets can make use of their turrets well enough to get past my 4 dice guns. It'll be great.
Meta.
Yeah, everyone will have fun, I promise.
Oh, Chewy fits with 2 kobolds.
Yeah, so if I fine, I'll kill Chewy first.
Oh, that's great. I'm really excited. I can't wait till this comes out. I play it in the Aces League. Oh God, who do I play next week? I'm gonna play that Sympathizer Cobalt thing. I think I'm playing the middle. Oh, I don't know. We'll see. Okay. So, holy God. So I guess there's a lot more than I was even thinking about. Han Solo, because he's my favorite character. Is he DOA? Because he looks still DOA.
I haven't even looked at him. Did he change at all?
He's 19 points cheaper than the Rebel Han for losing 2 health and having your rotate arc action be red. When really on Rebel Han, if you're using actions to rotate your arc, you're just not making the correct maneuver decisions.
Right.
I think at initiative 6, 3 die primary, you just keep your arc left, right, and then just strafe people. I think he's okay.
Yeah, you also lose the missile slot, which Rebel Han made use of a pretty decent. But yeah, outside of that.
I don't know that there's that many good crew or gunner choices for Han. Maybe Rose crew, just so if Han does roll a blank in anything, he can just acquire target locks. So, I mean, maybe you're looking at 85 points. I think 85 points for a fat turret that gets target lock focus every turn is decent.
Yeah.
All right. Is there any other up or like card or upgrade that we think we should talk about with Resistance?
Heroic is okay.
I don't know, man.
Well, like, I'd still probably take Trick Shot.
Yeah. How about 3PO, new 3PO at 6?
New 3PO at 6. Oh, that's the one where you get like a bunch of calculate tokens, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not bad.
After you perform a calculate or coordinate, gain 1 calculate.
It's double mods for 6.
Also the only way to get coordinate in that faction.
Right. So it's coordinate in double mods. I mean, that's not bad. Like, remember when we used to pay, 6 points for Psy? I mean, this is the same thing, more or less.
Yeah, it's not quite as good, but yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing we were doing is dead, so.
I mean, sure, right?
This is the best version.
It's fine.
Yeah, this is what we got now. And it's not bad. Certainly for a Resistance faction that doesn't have that as an option. And you can stick that on a cheap Star Fortress. I don't think you'd be able to fly anywhere, but.
So I think that could work on Han, actually, or I mean the YT-1300 in general. You run Rose crew and C-3PO. So I guess every turn you coordinate one of your other ships, get a calculate. If you roll blanks, you spend the blank for a target lock. So you're getting double mods on your Falcon, which is also coordinating everywhere.
At initiative 6.
Yeah, initiative 6 if you run Han. I mean, that's not that many points. That's only 91 points for double mods on your Falcon plus coordinate on something else every turn.
Yeah, not bad. Actually, damn it. The old factions are fine. Nothing to see here. All right, so are there any other of these upgrades that we want to talk about before we move on to the list contest?
That's all I had, really.
Do we know what Ray Crew or Ray Gunner does yet?
Yeah, I think it's been spoiled.
Okay, because Yossab doesn't have the full text, but it's something something defend or attack if they're in your mobile arc, spend a force to change one of your blank to an evader hit. So I think it's the same as Ray Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Which that could also be fun on a YT-1300 that's not Ray.
Like with Han goes okay.
Yep, because then you get a free mod, you change a focus to a hit or evade or a blank to, so you always have a mod working for you no matter what.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's start with our contest. Let's go ahead and start wrapping a bow on this thing. So our contest was we wanted to see a Rebel list without Luke or Sabine. And our winner, I picked this one out, was Michael McPherson, because he flew a list that is very close to my heart, or at least one that will soon be when I play Tyler here in a little bit. Four K-Wings with that had Sabine crew. That was the other part of the contest. God, I remember things. Anyways, he is four Warden Squadron K-Wings, right? Two with a barrage rockets and seismic, one of those with Sabine crew, and then two with ion missile and proton bombs. I think that Sabine crew is incredibly good. This utilizes a bunch of bombs to trigger Sabine, and then in the meantime, it's a list that has the potential opportunity to lock something down and shoot it really hard with a lot of hit points. So I like that. Michael, hit us up. We'll get you some sort of some sort of ship, and we'll go from there. All right. So, Sarah, since thank you for coming on, I want to give you the opportunity to pick the next list contest. So what should the next list contest be?
Oh, boy. I would say, considering that Resistance and First Order launch supposedly next week, the best list with either two T-70s, at least two T-70s, or two TIE silencers.
So two T-70s or two TIE silencers. Got it. All right. So send that to scumandvillainypodcast@gmail.com. If you can, please give me your Rathos link. It makes it easier for me. So bonus points for that, or don't. Whatever. You do you. All right. So let's wrap a bow on this thing. Let's start off with shout-outs. Sarah, do you have any shout outs you want to give to anybody before we wrap this up?
Shout out to you, wonderful gentlemen, for inviting me on today. Thank you.
Awesome.
Shout out to FFG making me happy, even if it didn't make everyone in the community happy, I guess. But I mean, even if you don't like the hyperspace format, I think in the next, few months, there's something for everyone coming out. There's CIS, there's Republic, First Order, Resistance, and I think everyone's excited about at least one element of the game. And I think we as players can really appreciate that. I think FFG injected a new light into the game, so to speak. I'm not trying to shill for them or anything, but I am really thankful I can keep playing this game, considering right before Worlds, I thought Worlds was going to be my last tournament, just period, until Second Edition was announced. So I appreciate that we can all continue to enjoy and love this game together.
Right on. Tyler, you got any shout outs?
I don't think so. I don't know if I missed anything going on.
All right.
Shout out to everybody out there being cool.
Let's see here. So let's see. I don't have any shout outs. Do we want to do story time with Kelvin?
Sure.
All right.
Short story time with Kelvin.
Yeah, you're like, I want to play you in the Aces League.
I have shit that needs to happen tonight, and one of that is killing you with a TIE Swarm.
Oh, God. Sarah, how about, do you want to talk about when you tabled me for crate templates or when we faced off in round two of Worlds last year?
I mean, that's kind of the same story, right? Because it's like, I will say that was maybe one of the funniest moments of my X-Wing career. We're at this year in Worlds, 2018 Worlds in May. We sat down and I think it was round three or four or something on the day. And you're like, hey, where do you get those crate templates? And I'm like, you.
Oh, shit.
And you're like, what did you fly? And I'm like, yeah, I was flying that Nora dash list from last year. And you're like, oh my God.
I literally, it all flashed back and I'm like, I hate my life. Hey, I got revengeance barely on the luckiest dice of all time.
Okay, you flew well and it was an incredibly fun game, I thought.
But then I like the next game I fly off the board and like on turn, was it one or two, like just the dumbest, like I don't know if I was hungover, honestly I could not tell you other
well than, hold on, you don't know if you were hungover.
I wasn't that, I don't think it was that night, I don't know.
I World, think it's every night a beer during our day one game, so I wouldn't be surprised. But
I was not sober during that
game. Yeah, no, to preface, we got rematched in day two of Worlds this year, game one. And Kelvin here fortresses against me because it wasn't illegal back then. Mm-hmm. And when I approach his fortress, which I will say I was in perfect fortress breaking formation.
You did a good job.
He flipped the dials in the wrong order and flew off the board.
Yeah, just like complete mental error. And I killed myself. We ended up finishing the game. Like I conceded and I'm like, all right, so let's see what happens if I don't do that. You ended up winning anyway, so like I feel like you earned it either way. But like the second I flew off the board, I'm like, this, I'm gonna give you the most MOV possible because this is over. But we did end up playing and I think you still won that pretty handily.
Yeah, you killed my Ezra, so it was like 24 or something MOV, but it was a pretty handily won.
Because you came at you broke the fortress correctly. You came at it from the side, and I just didn't deploy it.
Yep. Right. Like, and I'd been playing Nora for I had been playing Nora for basically a year and a half straight there. So I was like, I'll say it. I think in first edition, I was the best Nora player. Period. Not that that's an amazing feat, because not that many people play her, but still,
it's like being the best 5'10" power forward. sports reference. All right. Anyways,
wrong group there.
Just bomb. Anyway, so let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Sarah, thank you for coming on. For Tyler Tippett, better known as Star Slinger 72. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius. Thank you, Galactic Holonet, and good hunting. Boom. Nailed it.
We did it, fam.
We did it.
Woo!
We're done.
Are you watching this Will and Alex game?
No, I had to concentrate on podcasting.
What are you doing, Will? I mean, I guess...